And now we can welcome to the show Commissioner Kent Weems. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Corey.
Great.
If you're in charge of weather, I give you an A.
Well, you know, I'm not in charge and all.
If you could get it to rain, I'd give you an A+.
As long as you don't blame me when it goes south. But we got good moisture from that storm that rolled through last week.
Well, we did on the north end of the county. Mm-hmm. We still got snow in the pastures there around the place, and a little bit of fire suppression.
Where you reside? There.
Yes, I think we probably at 4 or 5 inches up there.
Yeah, so
definitely welcome.
Yep, and then they warm up to kind of let it trickle into the soil. Hopefully, we'll get a couple more. Maybe not 4 or 5 inches, but
Wednesday's
couple inches.
There's hope on Wednesday, correct? That's tomorrow, maybe. Or did they take that out of the forecast already?
Well, there is. They've got 30% is what I'm seeing for tomorrow. So tomorrow afternoon.
It's not a real good option.
Not great, but it is a chance.
It is
anyway.
A chance. Yep.
Could get a few drops. Every bit helps. So checking in on meeting happenings yesterday. Let's center on the 1 and 6 year road plan. That seems to be the hot thing that you dealt with yesterday. And unanimous approval on that. And, of course, this is something that's kind of in the hopper all the time. Certainly the Roads Department is constantly weighing their priorities, but especially this time of year, getting ready for spring and launching out with what they'd like to get accomplished on the road improvements in the area, right?
Well, that's correct, mm-hmm. Corey. It is a statutory requirement that we do adopt 1 and 6 each year, and we were a little late getting it on the agenda this year just because we missed a couple publishing deadlines, and because it is a public hearing, you have to meet those publication timelines.
What is it, two weeks ahead of time?
Yeah, I believe it's 2 weeks, and it's two or three repetitive publishings and whatever designated media that you've recognized.
Right. You designate whether it's a paper or radio.
So it was a little later than we would like, but we wanted to get it kicked off and put it in motion so that our superintendent can put those bids out as early as possible to get ahead of the curve, so to speak, with the limited supply of vendors for overlay specifically. That's a big one. You've only got so many companies that do asphalt overlays. Yep. And if you are late to the game, you're going to end up in second place as far as whether they have time for you. So we're anxious to get this adopted, get it in place so that he can move that timeline and identify some bid letting dates. Mm-hmm. And I anticipate that he'll be back to us very shortly with some of those.
Big things I gathered from the article in the Telegraph was the Hershey Road, Hershey Dickens Road, and then the one north.
Yeah,
well,
North Hershey and Hershey Dickens. Mm-hmm. That one, we've kicked that one down the road quite a way, so to speak, and addressed some other problem areas. Mm-hmm. Hershey Dickens specifically has got a kind of a nasty curve, S-curve down there, if you've ever traversed that, and it's a little hard for trucks to handle. And there's a lot more, there's a tremendous growth of traffic down there with the feedlot expansion of Olson's, and it just gets a lot of traffic between 23 and Highway 30. Mm-hmm. So finally we put it on the front burner, and the reason the North Hershey's tied in there, and Jason Schultz and Brian Gloss do a great job of trying to get the best value for a dollar, and one of those is logistics when you bid projects. So it made sense to those folks to maybe tie those in on a joint bid, and so when they're already in proximity, it's a lot more efficient to go to the other project and finish it as well.
Sure.
So that's why those are kind of probably going to be bid in tandem from what we're told, and makes perfect sense. So
those will be those are kind of put at the top of the list as far as what they want to get done this year.
Yeah, we've got a little over $4 million appropriated for overlays specifically, and some armor coat. I think there's 7 miles of that involved in Banner Road, for example. But year to year, we have to identify and prioritize, or we simply run out of money. So we have to stick to to our priority list for the most part, unless something falls through and we have to switch gears. But again, the planning portion is so very important to get it the bids out so that we can get a commitment from those companies to do the work.
Yep, got to secure them early there before they are snatched up by other people.
That's right.
Needing their roads improved.
So. Yeah, it's kind of like getting an airplane ticket to Vegas. You know, once the plane's full, you're gonna have to wait, and we don't want to wait on these overlays. Mm-hmm. So these asphalt companies have a limited amount of resources. You know, their asphalt plants that they tear down and move to a site and mm-hmm. stage the overlays, and once they've run out of calendar, they're done for the year. So we want to be on the front side of that.
Yep. And the weather, obviously, they got a shorter window here in these parts because of the weather and freezing temperatures arriving at some point.
We do, and there's been years where we allowed them a longer completion date into the fall so that they would be willing to bid that, because they don't want to come up against the timeline and not be able to perform. Mm-hmm. And there's always a caveat there. We have TC Engineering typically on site to make sure that asphalt meets the specs and mm-hmm. has a certain temperature when it's laid down so it bonds properly, because if you don't, it'll slough off and it's a garbage product. So that's always part of the equation. But sometimes the board will allow a little bit longer window of completion just so that we can get it done in the calendar year.
Eugene Avenue was another one that was mentioned, too.
Yeah, Eugene Avenue is a very short stretch out here mm-hmm. between Buffalo and Highway 83, west of, if they're familiar with where Hobby Lobby is, it's west of that. Yep. Mm-hmm. And that can's been kicked down the road ever since I've been around. The city controls a portion of it's in the city limits, and they've just annexed another short piece of it. Mm-hmm. So their stretch is a little bit more than it was a year or two ago. The county still has the west side of it. And each year we keep waiting for the city to go ahead and annex that, because it's just a foregone conclusion they're gonna end up with it. And so you're like, well, there's so much that needs to be done to do it right. Way, way back when this was dedicated as a road, it wasn't laid out properly. There wasn't setbacks, and it didn't have a full 24-foot minimum on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you've got improvements. You don't have good drainage. There's a lot of issues there to really, 100% do it the right way. But the superintendent encouraged us to mitigate our portion of Eugene because of the safety issue and the sloughing off of the product, the asphalt road bed to the shoulder of the road. And I think we're going to get good cooperation from the citizens that live there that are going to understand. We're going to kind of invade their space, so to speak, on their approaches and that, to put some additional dirt on the edges of this road before we overlay it, so that it will bond well and won't break off on the shoulders, and mm-hmm. have a much safer road to traverse on. And so Mr. Cook, who lives on that stretch, has been diligent coming in every year to remind us that we need to get something done to improve it. And he was there yesterday, and he was very gracious and thanked us for at least doing some mitigation work on it. And that'll mm-hmm. involve primarily probably about $150,000 overlay, mm-hmm. Corey. So we'll get that on the front.
We're looking at about $5 million worth of projects to be completed.
Well,
this
we're
year.
Hoping we're under that, or we'll run out of our bonding mm-hmm. Resources. But in rough numbers, a little over four two somewhere in there. And energy plays such a big factor in asphalt. So with the oil prices depressed in the last 6 to 8 months, we're hoping that trend stays. Yeah, because we're going to get a better value.
Hold down the cost.
Yes, yes.
Help you stay.
In fact, two, three budget cycles ago, we had to really kind of throw a kink in our project schedule because energy went sky high, And all of a sudden, we just couldn't, we didn't have the funds to do some of these bigger projects. So we waited a year on one of them, and we kind of got a double whammy on the budget because of it. So.
And again, with this 1 in 6 year, I mean, the 1 year is, you got to prioritize that. And
correct.
You're constantly doing that. And then as commissioners, I mean, you have them come in with what they're proposing basically as their priorities. And
right.
you either give your stamp of approval or say, no, I think we need to get some other things. But
correct.
You trust these people, and
yeah,
they've got a good track record, right, with
right.
what they prioritize.
You know, the seven years I've been there, we have overruled on a few times, a few projects that we wanted to see prioritized. But Jason and Brian have done a really good job of analyzing what needs to be done. And they can't be everywhere. And we know that as a board, we understand that. And, you know, during the year, there's a lot of interaction with those gentlemen as far as what's going on with condition at various roads. And a lot of these paved roads are, you know, obviously just an ongoing maintenance thing. And so when it comes down to the, you know, the recommendations of those two folks, we have a lot of faith, as you say, a lot of confidence in that, and they've done a lot of serious consideration to where the priorities should be. And didn't change yesterday. We recognize some of these. We talk about some of these. Some of these on the 1 year were, you know, we were talking about them 6 years ago, 7 years ago. So
you like to do everything at once, but it's just not possible unless you have to have both a 1 year and 6 year plan.
That's
when it comes
right.
to road improvements. So.
And things do change. You know, in 2018-19 when we had the water issues and damaged some roads, we had to switch gears. And as you probably recall, our Sutherland Bridge project got the state funding pulled from it. It was on the cusp of being put in motion there, and we lost those dollars to the eastern part of the state for the flooding, terrible flooding they had up there on the Missouri basin. So a lot of things can impact your 1 in 6, and a lot of oftentimes it's something you don't have any control over. But you know, we're optimistic that everything that we have here on the 1 year can be accomplished. And we always have a carryover. It's inevitable. And if anybody would peruse the 1 in 6 plan that's available at the Highway Department on Rodeo Road, they'll see that this year, like always, we carry over some projects, and those are at the top of the list. We're going to do those first. The superintendent identifies if any portion of that's been done, you know, and a percentage, so we understand, you know, how much is left on those. So Jason starts with those, and then we go on down to everything else that's a 1 year priority, and that's our focus. Mm-hmm.
Speaking with the chairman of the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners, Kent Weems, on Mugs in the Morning this morning, and you also completed the vacation of Vieira Avenue. The long saga associated with that is apparently over.
That is over and done. We unceremoniously adopted Resolution 2026-07, Lucky 7. We're done with that one. And so that procedure will move forward, and that will be vacated and recommitted to Mr. Vieira, where the parcel originally existed or originated from, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And then the city can do their thing on the annexation of the mobile home park to the west of Vieira, and they won't have to deal with this little sliver up right of way. Otherwise, Corey, if we hadn't cleaned that up, there'd just been this tiny 1,320 feet or whatever it is by 60 feet that whatever it is that the city would have been compelled to annex and then turn around and give him back half of it. That's the way the statute is written.
Sure.
So that would have been what they would have been compelled to do. This way, at Mr. Vieira's request, we made it a lot cleaner. We're giving it back. The city can come right down to his property line, annex to the left side of it, west side of it. It's a nice, clean annexation, and life goes on.
And everybody's happy.
I think everybody is happy at this point. I'm certainly happy we're done with it, and I think we've made him whole. And then again, you know, the city can move forward with their annexation over there.
Mm-hmm. You had some discussion on the county budget process yesterday.
Yeah, we, you know, as I've told my colleagues here the last two meetings, reminding them that we are collectively, and I'm as guilty as anybody, we are collectively one of the worst groups of procrastinators I've ever known. And each budget cycle, we wait till the 11th hour, literally, and then we start poring over budgets and going, gee whiz, what's this for? And I don't remember this, and on and on.
The pressure mounts
as you try
to figure it out. Yeah.
And, you know, mm-hmm. Commissioner Woodruff mentioned, he goes, you know what, you're absolutely right. And he says, then we end up picking on these little minuscule budgets and trying to shave a couple thousand here and there. And he said, we aren't giving our budgets the right scrutiny. And that's, you know, that's one of the three primary things the county board is responsible for, and that's budgeting and appropriation of funds and setting the levy. So we're not doing our due diligence if we don't ask those questions early on. So this year, at least the intention is to encourage all of the board members to look at all the budgets in February, March, April, and ask appropriate questions to those people that oversee those budgets and function under them, and say, tell me about this, you know, is this the best value? Is this the most efficient way we can do this? Is this expenditure, is this just a carryover that could be reevaluated as far as the dollars that are pigeonholed there and so forth? That doesn't mean we're going to necessarily take those dollars, but in a budget cycle, which I have already told you here in January, I expect to be a very tight budget constraint. We need to look at all budgets, yeah, and make sure we're getting the best bang for the buck and the tax dollars that we have to ask for. So,
well, I mean, and the road commissioners are getting 8-point-something% raise, right?
Well, that money, as we've said in January, that money has to come from somewhere. And so, you know, yeah, those things, they do add up, you know, dollars here and dollars there become thousands of dollars in the aggregate. So yes, we have to have a critical eye of all those, and it's an analytical thing. It's not a, you know, you can't allow it to be a personal thing. It's you know, it's simply serious thought and study of where the monies are going,
right,
and making sure that when our constituents ask us why this line item is this, we can justify that. Because if we can't justify it, why should I expect the taxpayer to be satisfied with us spending it? That's only fair. So that's where that came from, my encouragement to the other board members. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody wholeheartedly agrees that we are guilty of that, waiting till the last moment to finalize budgets. And mm-hmm. then you don't have time to get into these things and ask questions. You really don't.
Yep.
So it's just a reminder that we want to continue that and have focus there.
Get a six-month, at least a six-month head start on that.
Yes.
Start asking the questions early, and then if you run into something, you can get it fixed, and you don't have that pressure waiting till the last.
Yeah, and again, we may not find, you know, significant savings, but at least we're gonna know. We're gonna have a better comprehension of where our dollars are going. So.
For sure.
Yeah.
You had a public defender budget update by Bob Lindebar.
Yeah, Mr. Lindebar was kind enough mm-hmm. to come over. And that's, you know, segueing right into that. And that's, you know, kind of where that dialogue started. It's like, well, we got to start someplace. And Bob was very gracious to share the history. And, you know, we only got, as I told him yesterday, I said, you know, I'm guilty of leaning on our 40-year tenured commissioner for my history lessons. So last week when we started talking about that particular one, and we had questions about certain structures and line items, I turned to our veteran board member expecting he would be able to tell me, because historically he has been able to tell me when I've asked questions about some of these programs.
That would be Joe Hughley.
That would be Mr. Hughley, yep. And bless his heart, he's a good resource. But Joe, quite candidly, didn't have all the answers for that. So Bob was kind enough to come over, and we had a good discussion. It was a positive interaction, and he's fully on board with helping us evaluate that and identify expenses and all that. And, you know, what part of what started that, Corey, is that, you know, there's a contract that nobody's aware of, and Mr. Lindemeyer, unfortunately, kind of walked in the middle of the movie, and it was there when he got there.
Mm-hmm.
So the poor guy kind of got blindsided on his own side of the coin, so to speak. And like I said, really appreciate that he's engaged and going to help us get better definition of that budget. And we think we need to clean some things up as far as statutory guidelines on that. And that contract will be something that mm-hmm. we will be determining what that is. And mm-hmm. we'll get that clarified. And I predict success. But we just identified it as something that had a lot of ambiguity in it, and we're gonna.
So public defenders, just to get just to make sure I'm understanding this, they defend people in the court system.
Correct. Don't
have the resources to hire
exactly
a lawyer.
Right.
Basically,
that's exactly right. And okay. The only thing historically that I could find is a resolution from 1969 in July of 69, it took effect in January of 70, that created the Public Defender Office in Lincoln County. And other than that, there's no guidelines for us. And as I say, when Mr. Lindemeyer took over for his predecessor, the county board had structured it in this certain fashion and in agreement apparently with his predecessor. And so he basically walked in and this is what the board said. This is how we do this. And so, you know, who is he to change it, right? It's not on him. It's on the county board that we need to define this agreement. And there's a little bit of concern that we need to clean this up and either eliminate the so-called contract and go back to an itemized budget or otherwise mitigate this so it is in compliance with statute. So mm-hmm. we'll get it cleaned up, and I'm confident at the end of the day we'll have a better structure. And it'll
so
be
does the county have like a rate that they pay public defenders?
Within that budget, that? Corey, and it's unique, is mm-hmm. that the county board created a line item that's just a lump sum of dollars. Well, that's really not the way you do public budgets. So that's kind of a red flag that we, and mm-hmm. you know, how can you identify where the money goes if you can't go beyond that lump sum? And so that's where we're at. And again, I can't stress enough that Mr. Lindemeyer has been very forthcoming to say, look, if we need to restructure this, I'm on board. So bless his heart, he's going to help us get that definition. Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind. So but if you look at that, it's unique to the budget system. Typically, that's how it's defined, and you can basically go into any budget if it's structured properly, and I can break it down into all these claims and expenses, and I can trace every dollar. So that's where the ambiguity comes there. Not that it's not legitimate, okay? Not at all. That's not the point. It's just the fact that we just need to make sure there's 100% transparency to mm-hmm. those dollars.
Yep.
And we'll get it cleaned up.
Yep. Man, I'm sure taxpayers appreciate that. Yeah, everybody needs to be accountable.
Yeah, well, again, sure. You know, the system has kind of failed the public defenders and his office, I think, because I've been asking this question. You know, I was aware of the structure in 2019, but nobody really had an answer for me then either as to why this is unique in structure.
Yeah.
Other than maybe it expedited the ability to keep a local attorney willing to serve. And I'm sure that was the impetus at the time. So there's a lot of good intentions here. We just need to make sure we're in compliance. And we will get there.
Good.
We will get there.
Good to hear.
Yes.
Megan Trevino dropped by and had
Megan
a little presentation on the county's wellness program.
She did. Megan's done a tremendous job mm-hmm. since she's taken over West Central Health. She's just so proactive. And, you know, all organizations that I've been involved with in the last 30 years, retail ag primarily, have some kind of a wellness program. And typically there's motivation to do so because your insurance rates are more advantageous because your insurance carriers like to see that stuff caught early before they have to give you chemo treatments for cancer or a bypass for your heart issues and that. So in that kind of in that spirit and wanting our workforce to be healthier, you know, because we kind of like those folks. We're kind of fond of them. And We implemented a wellness approach last year that basically, between West Central absorbing part of the cost and the county paying the rest, we had a 69 people sign up to do a blood profile, and then ultimately we had about 25 that stayed fully engaged and did the monthly coaching upgrade or updates with their mentor at the West Central Health, Trudy Merritt. And we found some health issues, as typically you do on these health fairs. And so after the feedback from Megan and our board assistant, Tammy White, who's been involved in these, by the way, predating this particular endeavor with West Central Health, that were more in-house and coordinated with our insurance carrier, they encouraged us that they thought we did have some very positive results, and some of our workforce is healthier because of it. So we unanimously agreed to renew the program for this year and encourage as many of our employees to sign up as we can. I know from past programs, and not this one, Corey, but the county has had some employees that found some very serious health issues and preemptively had corrective medical procedures and saved their life, and that's number one. And then, the more practical side, saved the county a lot of money, their insurance carrier. Yep. So it's really a win-win. That's a overused.
We can lower insurance rates.
That's
a big thing.
But you want your people to be healthy.
Most
right?
of all, the main motivation would be, these things early and deal with them.
Well, weight loss is always the number one problem. It creates so many other things, pre-diabetes and all that. So if you can, and that was where the focus was on this, was body mass index. And if you can get folks to eat healthier and take some of that body mass away, a lot of folks don't end up on insulin and those kind of things and heart problems and all the rest of the bad things that happen.
So. For sure. Anything else you want to mention out of the meeting yesterday?
Well, just a quick reminder, red, white, and blue theme there for America 250 celebration. Tammy White and Michaela Wudler on our board are going to kind of tag team our endeavor in that, and we are going to collaborate with the city of North Platte. And part of that will be the lighting of the public buildings, specifically the courthouse. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to be a part of that, and whatever formal celebrations are had here within the city, the county is going to be wholeheartedly participating in.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
We should have plenty of those in the summer months for
sure. Absolutely.
All right. Kent Weems, chairman of the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners, been with us this morning on the first half of Bugs.